Carl and I and a number of other folks went to the Middle East, to the Holy Land this year, October, and almost everybody that talks to us about it wants to know if we felt safe. The answer is yes, we felt perfectly safe. There were a couple of times when on the news you could watch and there was a little bit of protesting going on because some of the far-right religious Jewish community is being forced now to register for the draft, and they've been excluded up until now, or they've chosen to violate that rule. And so there were protests while we were going, but it was stand in the street, get moved out of the street kind of protests. So it wasn't, there were never any, I don't think there were any smoke and those kind of things. It turns out that Israel and Palestinians learned in about 2000 that it was really bad for business for there to be conflict in the Middle East for tourists. So if you watch the news, you'll hear, oh my gosh, there was a bombing in Tel Aviv and a commuter bus was hit or something. But you never hear, if you will listen for it, you never hear them say, and a tourist bus was hit. Because both the Palestinians and the Jews benefit from all of us going over and spending money. It is not a place that knows peace. They have got enough of a calm that they can do business. But they have not reconciled and figured out how to move forward. There, you wouldn't call it wholeness. Today, we're talking about that coronation title that most kings got about being the person who is in charge of peace. And in part, that title was given to kings because it helped everybody's economics. So let's understand that in a king's role for the Caesars of Rome, the great peace of Rome was because it allowed them to have a great economy. But the peace of Rome was not so good for a number of other folks. If you were a citizen, it was fabulous. But if you were not a citizen, slavery and violence and death ensued. Part of the Pax Romana included crucifixions. That does not sound like peace to me. I want to say that everybody agrees that the world should be in peace. If somebody in a beauty pageant needs to say that what they wish for, they say world peace. But I think that some folks describe peace a little bit differently. And I want to push against what humanity thinks is enough, good enough peace, and what God says is the kind of peace that we're called into. The peace of Jesus is restorative. It makes things right. It mends relationships. It transforms people. You want an example of peace in our lifetime? I want you to consider that there was a time when I thought praying for peace in Northern Ireland was a ridiculous prayer. Wasted breath. Because there was no chance, based on the ongoing violence and bombings in the world, based on the issues in Northern Ireland, that there was ever going to be peace in Northern Ireland. And yet, when's the last time you thought about war in Northern Ireland? For me, it was when we had Gary Mason preach for us and got to talk about those kind of things. I want you to consider just for a moment the difference between where South Africa was in 1990 and where it is today and how it did that and everybody didn't kill everybody else. The belief was that if they changed away from apartheid, that all of the Africans would kill all the Afrikaners. And yet, I dare say there's more peace in South Africa than there is in Jerusalem. Peace is not just saying, all right, we're not going to fight. The absence of war is not peace the way we Christians define peace. Micah and Isaiah both say something like this. He shall judge between many peoples and shall arbitrate between strong nations far away, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares. You remember that? And their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Neither shall they learn war anymore. A kind of peace where you don't have to have any budget for military. I get that that's not normal and realistic, and I'm not asking to have a conversation about budgets. But I am willing to push on all of us about how peace works for us. And I'm not just talking about national peace. I'm talking about family peace. Now I'm meddling. Because tomorrow's going to come, and about 2 in the afternoon, if you've got a bunch of family around, you're going to go, why don't we go to the movies? Where we don't have to talk to each other, and we can stare straight ahead, and something else can... Did you know that Christmas Day is the busiest movie day of the year? A plus B equals C. It's not tough to figure out how that works. You don't have to be a rocket surgeon in order to figure that out. Yeah, I knew what I said. Brueggemann says, peace requires the capacity to forgive. Peace requires a readiness to share generously. Peace requires the violation of strict class stratification in society. Peace requires attentiveness to the vulnerable and the unproductive. Peace requires humility in the face of exaltation, being last among those who insist on being first, and denying self in the interest of the neighbor. These are all practices that mark his presence in his society. The Prince of Peace. He also goes on to say, more than that, they are all practices that contradict the conventional assumptions of empire. In the empire, there is no forgiveness. In the empire, there is no generous sharing. In the empire, there is no violation of class stratification, rich and poor. In the empire, there is no attentiveness to the vulnerable and the unproductive. In the empire, there is no humility in the face of exaltation. In the empire, there is no readiness for being last in a world of aggressive firstness. In the empire, there is no denial of self for the sake of the neighbor. The empire, in its refusal of the things that make for peace, generates a society of hostility, aggression, greed, conflict, and violence. Right in our face, Brueggemann puts it. For some people, their own safety is enough for them to quit pushing for peace. But not everybody gets to live in safety. And so there's not true peace. True peace doesn't happen unless there's justice and equality for all. I think it's critical for us that we let, as this title is put on to God, onto Christ, onto kings, that we understand that God defines what peace is, not we get to settle for the lowest common denominator. Anybody else in here, Crosby, Stills, and Nash fan? There's a great song. You guys should go home and listen to it. It's called Soldiers of Peace. Anybody know the song Soldiers of Peace? The soldiers of peace are not looking for enemies anymore. It's a fabulous song. You should listen to it. If you're a Crosby, Stills, and Nash fan, you should have it. I couldn't help, as we thought about Prince of Peace, about the Christmas truce of 1914. Do you remember that story? It actually happened 103 years ago, where across the lines on Christmas Eve night, the British soldiers could hear the German soldiers singing a song they recognized. Of course, they sang it in German. They sang Silent Night. And when they were done, the British soldiers sang it as well. And though in those days, soldiers were perceived as gentlemanly opponents, not mortal enemies who were despicable and not 100% human. And so on Christmas Day, what they had, they carried out into no man's land, and they had miles long of peace in the midst of the lines in World War I. And at some point, days later, somebody had to start shooting at the crowd because they wouldn't stop making peace. And the Christmas truce was over, and never again would they just turn off war on Christmas Day because they were afraid peace might break out. The person in the history of the church that we give the most credit for making Christmas a holiday is St. Francis. St. Francis is the Francis of Assisi is the person with the most books in all languages written about. He is the most respected person in all the different religions in the world. He's the one that said Christmas ought to be recognized as a holiday in the church, given a higher elevation. Did you know that Francis's job before he became a monk and a soldier, or a monk and a saint, was that he was a soldier. He fought for peace because he knew what war was like. Really, it's hard to find winners post-war. Well, there was a movie in the 70s, maybe it was the early 80s. I'm old, I can't remember. War Games? And then the moral at the end of the movie was the only way to win the game of war is not to play. If I were to ask you in the history of humanity, who were the people you would say are the princes of peace who made peace happen, who comes to mind? I know the answer is Jesus, but it sure sounds like a squirrel to me. Don't start that. I got a Mother Teresa. Nelson Mandela, Martin Luther King Jr., Gandhi. And I've already mentioned St. Francis, and that takes up almost all of them. And yet, I bet you we can find folks who would take issue with each one of those individuals. Because peace doesn't pay near as well for some folks. I want to encourage you to understand that peace is not just a title for Jesus. It is a state of being for God. In the song, we say something like, sleep in heavenly peace. Maybe there's an important distinction there, that the peace we know on earth is not always near as good as the peace that comes in heaven. When I think of peace, heavenly peace, I think of words like gentle and safe and calm and tender. Nonviolence. It has to be for all. It has to include emotional peace and psychological peace. We can't get through a year without struggling with those. There can't, if it's going to be true peace, there can't be lingering resentment. There are some wars that are still happening in this world because of lingering resentment from 1,300 years ago. We're not real good at this. The peace candle is hard to get lit. So for us, if we want to live in that Prince of Peace world, then we have got to dedicate our lives and ourselves in our relationships to not be for anger, to not rely on hate, to let go of anything that feels like abuse. True peace, heavenly peace, transforms the past into a new day. It transforms the present and the future. You cannot kick peace down the road and think somehow or another it's going to get magically fixed. But here's the kicker. For us Christ followers, Prince of Peace is not a future title yet unfulfilled. Jesus already is. Before this day dawned, Jesus was already Prince of Peace. God, I don't want to spoil the surprise for tonight, is already here. Came 2,000 years ago and already embodied peace. Jesus came and Jesus embodied peace. The Prince of Peace began his journey in a manger. Then hate and anger and meanness and abuse nailed the Prince of Peace to a cross. Abuse of power and corruption killed the Prince of Peace, but hate did not win. The reason we celebrate Christmas is because hate did not win. Love did not die. No more hate. No more excuses. Christ is already Prince of Peace for the world. How about for you? Does your life demonstrate that Christ already is the Prince of Peace? I looked in the mirror. I didn't like what I saw. Because there are some days when I don't give God enough room to be Prince of Peace. Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. Prince of Peace. Anybody in here know sign language, American Sign Language? I'll give you a little lesson. When a signer is doing king, they do they make the K sign, and then they make the sash that a king would. And so when you do queen, you just do Q and do this. If you want to do prince, you do this. Okay? So here's how you do Prince of Peace. Prince. We need a little bit more of. Agreed? Take a deep breath in. Let it come out like this. Let us pray. Come, Prince of Peace. As we wander through the rest of this day, and into tomorrow and the rest of all our days, let the cues in our head, the reminders of Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, trigger in us an awareness that we have to keep turning back towards you. That we do not get lost on the journey, but we keep aiming towards you. Step by step, day by day, breath by breath, we wander in your direction. We follow Jesus. Help us. When the world wants to trigger anger and fear and hate and abuse, that we remind ourselves once again that we follow a risen Savior who is already the Prince of Peace. Amen.